powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by a few of the show's guests from last year's Fixed Ops 5, Episode 1, Lon Overs. Welcome to the show. Episode 2, Joe Chambers. Welcome. Episode 6, Jim Roach. How you doing, Jim? And Episode 7, Russell Hill. Welcome to the episode.
Thank you.
From Episode 8, Eric Hardegi. And Episode 10 and 11, Sean Reyes. Sean, welcome. And Episode 12, Kaylee Filio. And Episode 13 and 14, Steve Apicella. And Corey Parker from Season 2, Episode 1. Welcome to this amazing podcast that we're going to put together. I want to thank you all for being a part of this episode and last year's episode. You were vital in the launch of NAC's podcast, Fix Ops 5. So I want to personally thank you all for the amazing first year of this podcast and all the value that you bring to this amazing industry. So let's get started with this special show, Automotive Year in Review. So we'll start with ladies first. Kaylee, just remind everybody who you are and who you work for.
So I'm Kaylee Filio. I work for Parts Edge. I'm the sales and marketing manager. I think I've owned the hashtag go-to parts girl. I want to be the go-to person for anything parts because that's what we focus on. And I love what I do.
Excellent. So your first question is, do you think the parts back order will get better or worse as we progress forward?
That is a great question. And a very broad question, too, because I think it depends on where you are located. I think busier cities might be getting a little bit better for them compared to like the more rural areas. But, you know, it has to get better before it gets more worse. I don't know. There's no really right answer to that. But what we're seeing is it is getting a little bit better, but it's still a struggle and dealerships are busier than ever, and we're, you know, just got to keep up with it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Joe and Eric, you guys work in the dealership on a daily basis. What are you guys feeling with the parts order issue?
I'll be honest with you, it's rough. I just had a manufacturer tell me to expect a 50% fill rate.
Wow.
50%. And they were proud of that. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm selling them short. It was 53%. But they were saying it was going to get a little rough in the coming months. So it's tough.
Yeah, no, so I'm probably being a little too positive then.
I know. I love your positivity. Let's get more of that. I hope it becomes reality.
Then the expectations, you know, you have expectations to meet on your end. I have expectations to meet on my end. And whether they're customer, manufacturers, ownership, employees, name it. It's an everyday thing. We have to be on top of those charts every single day.
And Corey, how about you? You work in the independent dealerships. How do you feel about this whole parts back order?
You know, it's manufactured parts. You're ordering from, you know, usually a couple sources that is manufactured, where we deal with independent. So I have a lot broader spectrum. You know, when people come to an independent shop, they're looking to do things a little bit different than, you know, sticking to the OEM. So we kind of are able to kind of budge, but we're still affected by it. You know, there is no, you know, I get customers on a daily basis that literally have left the dealer because it's going to be 2 or 3 days on a part, thinking that they're going to come to me and then I'm just going to magically make the part happen. It's not. We're feeling the effect, and I'm kind of seeing it, and especially in the past 3 months, it's getting, I've gone from, you know, later in the day being able to get the parts to the next day, now I'm 2 or 3 days out.
Wow. Okay. And Kaylee, could you give us something new and cutting edge that the parts department needs to be more productive?
I was thinking about this, and it's there's a lot that we could do to be more productive. And I was, you know, actually what came to mind is what Sean's doing at Recall Masters, because it's really unique in what they're doing and how they, it's a whole productiveness to that whole process of warranty. And also Revolution Parts, selling parts online is just, that's the goal here. Let's be more productive with our process. How can we be better and focus on parts, really? Because when I thought about it, I'm like, no one really talks about parts, really, except for me. And so,
I talk about parts. I talk about parts.
Oh, good. You talk about parts. Good.
Russell.
So... yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's what I had to say.
I mean, Sean, can you expound upon what she's talking about with what you guys do?
Yeah, in fact, Kaylee and I and the team had a chance to meet out at NADA, and that's, again, the forefront of what we do. If we're on behalf of the dealer and the factory trying to reach out to consumers to get them into an authorized service center, you don't want to do that if you don't have parts available. Right? Like, how annoyed would you be as a vehicle owner if you took the time to have to get out to a dealership, which is something that's always a challenge for the consumer to want to do, only to find out that they pulled you in and didn't have the parts to repair a very dangerous recall. So it's absolutely critical to operations today for the dealer.
And can you give our listeners the state of recalls from 2021?
Yeah, there's more and more to come. You know, it's odd because I did notice that numbers went down for 2021. And that's a good sign, you'd think. But considering we didn't really manufacture too many vehicles last year, you know, it's a little concerning to see that the numbers were still as large as they were. And it probably also has to do with the fact that NHTSA didn't complete as many investigations as in years past. And on the same token, the voluntary recalls, which many of you might call service bulletins or service notices, those shot through the roof. So it's clear that dealers are having to monitor those TSBs a little bit more closely, especially for off-brand vehicles that they're taking in on the lot at either trade-in or they're going to auction to look at those vehicles. And you just can't forget that there's dangerous recalls in those vehicles as well. Some of these things that we call service bulletins are actually where NHTSA recalls are born, so they can be very dangerous.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, again, Eric and Joe, you guys are on the front line in the dealership every day. Is what Sean's saying, is what you guys are seeing at the dealership?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had a conversation this morning.
Yeah.
This morning about open recalls for one of our brands, and the vast amount of money and that could be made just off of those recalls. Not to mention the need to get those customers in and get their cars taken care of was way more than we thought. And our dealership's pretty on top of it. So I can't even imagine what it's like, you know, for folks that aren't paying attention to
it. Being proactive with these recalls is huge. And number one is making sure that the manufacturer understands that you have a respect for the brand itself. And the customers will appreciate you being ahead of the curve and making sure that their cars are safe on the road. You know, all the hours and monies and everything that come with it is also important. Let's not neglect that. But at the same time, you have so many moving parts to make sure the right part is there for the right car, the right customer at the right time. There's a lot that goes into that.
But Corey, you were right. And Sean, you add in those bulletins, and those bulletins fly like there's, and a lot of them, they just come kind of under the radar. Right. And you never see it until you need it. And then you're like, oh, why didn't I know about this? So, yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. And it's definitely on the rise.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you guys get graded on that with your CSI scores, whether it's a recall or warranty work. I mean, fix right the first time is very important. And if you don't have the part to do that, that could be a CSI nightmare.
And it always is.
Eric, do you see dealerships doing more training than ever before because of hiring new people after the big layoff from COVID?
Training is a big deal. We have to start. We started 4 years ago. Joe and myself came up with the program. And we were looking ahead, you know, in the next 4 to 5 years, we kind of seen the talent pool being lessened for us. So we said, we have to start growing our own. So we got with the program, we started working on it. In our store, we train for the advisor side of the portion. We train every single Tuesday at 6:30 in the morning. There is no question, should I be there? Is there going to be the one? You're there. And then as far as technicians, we have tech huddles every single day at 8:30 in the morning. It's mandatory. You have to be there. And we iron out some of the things. Sometimes we'll bring up technical service bulletins or troubles you might be having with the car. And those are small training sessions. A lot of people think, well, no, those are small shop. Or no, there's training involved with that, because a tech might raise their hand and say, I don't have the confidence with this car. I know I'm trained. I know I'm on paper, I'm good, but physically you're not. You have to be able to address that before it gets to the customer.
And you're probably doing the same thing with the technician shortage too, right?
Same exact thing.
Oh, even more so, probably. Mm-hmm. Even more so. We're taking advantage of any training we can get with the manufacturers. At any given point in time at our stores, we have, you know, we have several technicians out each week going to different training sessions. And because of that, because of the tech shortage, because of the, you know, mass resignation, because of the people getting out of the industry, we've got a fairly young technician base that we've been training up. And it can be a drain if you're not prepared for it. Fortunately, we are. But if you're not prepared for it, it can be a drain on your productivity, on your customer pay, on your customer experience. It can be a drain on it.
It sounds really cool after it's being done and 4 years later. Yeah. But the process itself is, there's sleepless nights involved, because you've got people working on big jobs or important jobs. And you're like, okay, you know, yeah, it's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah. And, you know, Ron Overs, Fixed Ops Magazine, you have your hand all over this. You're probably advertising in the magazine of, you know, training your teams, whether it's service advisors or technicians. What are you seeing in this whole world of Fixed Ops?
Fixed Ops is just evolving. It seems every year it just seems to get more integrated, more of the parts that you need to have to really run a service department well. Are gluing themselves together in a way that makes it easier now to have communication with your customer, right? Everybody's got some sort of a texting tool right now to communicate with their customers. They have some kind of setup to, you know, confirm appointments. Just having an integrated approach so that you're not going at this piecemeal and finding out that you're not, you know, really meeting your customers' needs. And, you know, the big words in the business today, of course, everyone uses the word retention. But the word that really gets you is defection points.
That's right.
Right. So if you're not retaining them, you're providing them opportunities to defect from your business. And if they defect from your business, you've lost them, not just for service, for sales. You've probably lost them as a customer for a long, long time. And the goal now is to avoid defection. And by doing that, creating a customer experience. And I never use the word CX. It's a customer experience that when they're walking out the door, you know, they're walking out the door pleased with the process, how it all went, pleased with how the vehicle was delivered back to them, the time frame it took, how they were treated, with what respect they were treated with throughout the whole process. So it's complicated, and you have to be really good at your job to do it very well. And, you know, it's fun with the magazine because we get an opportunity to, you know, publish 10 great stories every other month. And find those pieces that can help you glue it together and make that all work. So it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And in regards to retention numbers, I mean, Jim, can you shed some light on the retention numbers and the customer experience?
Sure, I'd be happy to. But first, Corey, let me just add in my happy anniversary and congratulations for these. The year flew by. Well done, sir. Please keep on doing it.
Thank you.
As it relates to retention, I prefer to use the term loyalty because I think loyalty is just a little bit nuanced. To me, retention is a little binary, either they're coming in or they're not coming in. But since I began talking about this in 2014, we've seen some pretty good progress, but today it's a bit of a mixed bag. The overall loyalty in the industry, by the way, these are all from IHS Market, in 2014 was about 51.5% for all brands. 2021, we were at 58.6% across all brands. So a loyalty increase of about 7.1%, which is good. I mean, if you translate that into real dollars, that's billions and billions in additional revenue. So good news. But the reason I say mixed bag is because we've lost ground from 2020 to 2021. Overall brand loyalty in 2020 was 61.7%. So we've actually gone backward 3.1% year over year, 2020 to 2021. So we've improved, but there's more work to be done, I think would be the overall takeaway.
Wow, those are great numbers. And I really appreciate you really digging into that. I know, you know, what you do for the industry is, you know, you set the bar, you really help educate everyone on what is going on in the world of fixed ops. So we greatly appreciate everything that you put toward the industry itself. You know, it really, really kind of goes into what Russell Hill does with his company. Russell, why don't you tell everybody again what you do for your job and what you're doing when it comes to your clients on defection rate and trying to keep that loyalty number up?
Well, we're the, even though we're not that old of a company, we're the original video coupon and full service marketing solution for fixed operations on the digital side, you know, website presence, et cetera. And it's really amazing with what everybody said, you know, Ron and the magazine, you know, every other month coming out, he seems to touch on all the things, all the little nuances. I mean, everything is changing. Everything is changing, particularly since I'll get into that. I recently had a conversation with a gentleman at NADA by the name of Glenn Lundy, and I don't know if anybody knows who Glenn Lundy is, but he was talking about how things have evolved from 1922 to 2022 in the last 100 years. And his belief is in the next 5 years, we're going to evolve 100 years. It's the technology is just moving so fast. There's I don't even know if there's any really one solution. We talked. You got the chip shortage. You got advisors and technicians. You know, all this happened during the pandemic. Customer loyalty a lot. So I know that I think and I hear a bunch of people recently talking about EV. Oh my God, what are we gonna do and all that kind of stuff. And I think we're all gonna be just fine and we'll survive somehow. That's what I think. But I think on the defection that was mentioned earlier, just one thing I could talk about a lot, tires, okay? Tires is huge to introduce that to help alleviate that defection at 36 to 39 months, because for every franchise dealer, there's 16 non-franchise entities that are all jockeying for that same business. And they know franchise dealers have been sleeping at the wheel, but things are changing and they're starting to figure that out. Tires is really important. The customers need to know that you can be competitive with the national brands. And you have to think long game. I know a lot of people don't do that. I can't really make any money selling tires. Yeah, you probably can't make much if you're going to be competitive. But I see machines now where people roll in and they roll over. They get these instant reports on toe and camber and tire inflation and wear and all this kind of stuff immediately to be able to educate and advise and consult with the customers. If you get them on tires, I think it's like 67% of those people during the next 2 or 3 years will buy a new or pre-owned vehicle from you. That's huge. And think about the money you make with recommended maintenance and the customer loyalty factor and all that kind of stuff. If you just raise that a little bit, whatever the preconceived notions are, which nobody really knows yet, on EVs coming into the market, it's not like it's all going to change tomorrow. It's not. We're quite a ways away. Right. But it's happening. People are talking about it, right? So these are opportunities for all of us, because really an opportunity is not an opportunity when everybody thinks it is. They've already missed it. So if you're not paying attention to this 5 years down the road, sorry, you're out. You're missing the curve that all of us in here are talking about today. That's my little tidbit on defection. Anyway.
I love it.
Right on, man.
Kaylee, what do you have to say? I mean, tires are parts, right? I mean, that's something you specialize in, right? Or are you telling your dealers that exact same thing?
That's the quote of the day, isn't it? Tires are parts.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, great.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it always depends on kind of the dealership and what their focus is. But yeah, it's important. It's something that we need to focus on. And I just think that the overall big picture is just what we do, at least, is supporting the parts manager in the process. Because there's so many moving parts, but not like physically.
The parts girl.
But yeah, just basically supporting them in the process and just making sure that's efficient and supporting all these different avenues and areas that we have to look at in the big picture. Recalls, tires, what's like, how can we grow? How can we evolve? And how can we be better servants to our customers?
Right. Eric and Joe, you guys are dealing with this as well. The loyalty number, the defection rate, right? Tires. Do you guys have a tire wall when a customer drives in?
We have some displays, yes. We don't have an actual wall at this store, although I've been known to throw one or two up at some of the stores I'm at.
Not at people publicly, no.
I thought you said at people.
Yeah, right? Come
tires.
On.
I just meant, you know. But, I mean, the tires are a huge, huge defection point. And again, I mean, it's just going to get stronger and stronger because anything we can, let's open our eyes here. Anything we can use to tie the customer to our dealership, to our store, to our facility is going to be a benefit. What's the downside in that? There isn't one. No matter what you do, you can't pick a downside. Well, I don't make enough money on tires. Well, guess what? Your people got to look a little bit harder at those cars and you got to do some other things. And guess what? If you treat the customer right, they're going to come back and they're going to buy cars and they're going to do all. I mean, there's no bad point to keeping a customer at your store. And loyalty, I like the term loyalty. That was strong.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Appreciate
Jim.
That. That was very good.
And one of the things that I'm very thankful for from being a kid is we've always been involved with wheels and tires. Car wasn't cool unless they had a cool wheels and tires. So every time a car comes in, naturally my eyes are, well, how do the tires look? And what's important is it is so difficult with all the avenues of media that customers have at their hand to keep people within your house. And how crazy is it that some people think that tires are not profitable? Maybe not on paper, but I think overall with the amount of money that people spend on advertisement, trying to keep people in the door, why wouldn't you want to keep everything under one umbrella?
Exactly.
Well said, Eric.
That's the only thing I don't do at the dealer is tires.
and there's our point right there. There
it is. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But if they do defect, they go to Corey Parker in the independent world, right, Corey? And Corey will put on anybody's tires.
Plenty of business for Corey out there, right?
Yeah. Corey's got to fight to keep his customers as well, right? I mean, it's you got to fight to keep your customers at your store, whether it's a Burger King or a Cadillac dealership.
Joe, dealership training when it comes to management, what would you want for ongoing training for your leadership team to really hold, you know, to get them through, you know, this new wave of new employees?
Yeah, Corey, that's hard, right? Because first of all, I think I'm fortunate because we started training our managers before they were managers. We started training our managers when they were advisors, and we started training our advisors before they were advisors, when they were porters or whatever. So we really bring our people up in our culture, in our system, and it allows us the time to invest in them, because you have to invest in your people. You have to take care of that training. We do train. We train weekly. We have quarterly meetings where we really dig into the numbers for the quarter. We go out, we have events, we do all of those things. But at the end of the day, the one thing we teach is culture, and we need to make sure that people are on the same page, that they believe in the beliefs of our store, that we're making smart hires, and that they're part of a bigger team. And being part of that bigger team is really, really helped us kind of grow our management team. And I'm blessed with a very, very good management team at these stores and some of our other stores in other areas, markets as well.
How many stores do you oversee, Joe?
Right now I'm at 7. Okay. I'm at 7 helping out with some others.
Awesome. Awesome.
Big responsibility.
And it's huge. And it's to hold those leadership and those managers accountable. So they're doing the same thing that you started doing, which is grooming those future advisors into being future leaders.
And let me be honest, I'm overseeing 6, building the 7th. Okay. So my fault, my bad there.
No worries at all.
You're fired.
Well, I come for two of his problems, and I got seven.
Jim, what else are you seeing out there in the industry that, you know, like kind of Ron, what Ron was talking about, and even and Russell about the EVs are coming, right? And we've all talked about it. I mean, we're years away from it really being true, but what else is out there that you're seeing that we should be really paying attention to?
Yeah, thank you. It as said, I think that we're going to go through a tremendous amount of change in the industry in a very short period of time. But the things that are, I think, immediately interesting, Corey, number one, what we've seen in all of the numbers over the last 6 or 7 years in the, on the dealer side is a deceleration of growth in customer pay and an acceleration of growth in warranty. Probably not surprising because, you know, we're putting more and more technology into the vehicles and the component costs are higher. If you go back and you look, if you break it into pre and post pandemic, pre-pandemic, we saw a 38.2% increase from 2014 to the end of 19 in warranty work, an average of 7.7% growth per year, which is tremendous growth. If you compare that in 2019, overall customer pay growth was 1.3%. So we're seeing that acceleration of warranty. And so look at post-pandemic. I think that we'll continue to see an acceleration of warranty work through the end of 2025, probably another 30%, which is really interesting. Here's an interesting stat. So all of the OEMs are public companies, right? And as public companies, what they have to do is they have to publish their financials. The way that they report the finances on warranty is they have to accrue it whenever they sell the vehicle. Well, if you look in 2020, when the manufacturers collectively sold 17% fewer cars, their warranty accrual was increased 4% year over year. So wrap your head around that a second. Sold 17% fewer cars, but the warranty accrual increased by 4%. So don't believe me, they think they're going to break. So we're going to see an increase in warranty work.
Sounds like some opportunity.
We don't touch on, we talk a lot about loyalty as we should and getting our share of customer, but it is going to be increasingly difficult to hold gross in the service side of the business because the competition is heating up. You know, we've got Amazon looming out there. We've got mobile repair companies. We've got Corey and all the people in the aftermarket keeping keeping it a fair game. So I think one of the other things that we have to pay attention to going forward are embracing technologies that optimize profitability, right?
So
if you didn't add another customer over the next 5 years, but you doubled your gross, your profitability would be the same. And keep in mind, we always have to, you know, we tend to focus on customer and customer and revenue growth, but the reason we're all in it is profitability, right?
Right.
Not for revenue, it's the percentage of revenue that we get to keep. So I think a really important component of the game over the next couple of years will be looking at business process optimization and how we continue to leverage technology to do that. So I think those are two things to keep our eyes on.
Well, I love that.
Jim, I love those numbers, buddy. I don't know how you masked all that, but that's some pretty incredible stuff. It causes you to think.
It's a nice way of saying, wow, this guy doesn't have any life. He reads a lot.
No.
So we need people like you.
Yeah, so talking about reading, maybe it was in Fixed Ops magazine. I'm trying to keep up and supercharge my EV thoughts, but I understand that EVs go through a lot of them, you know, are, you know, very, very powerful, low profile. They churn through tires. And that's, you know, I'm just saying tires is a good game to get into.
Yeah. Especially coming with the EVs.
Yes.
Especially with the EVs.
Well, I did not know that. I learned something new from Russell Hill.
We just solved the whole world's problems right here today. I mean, really.
Now, take your weekend off, everybody.
Now, from National Auto Care's perspective, you know, we do ancillary products, right? So I've always had this, call it a pipe dream, to selling service contracts in the drive, which helps with that loyalty number and helps the customer when they do have a major repair, when they didn't buy it from the F&I department, that they are protected. And I still haven't been able to really get, you know, is it the advisor that can really sell this to the customer? Is it through an app like Steve Apicella has? You know, do you guys think that that's valid? Do you think it's just a pipe dream?
I think it's extremely valid.
It's gold. Okay, if you can sell that in the drive, it's gold.
It has to be easy though, right, Joe?
The trick is it's got to be easy. If it's not easy, it's not going to happen. That's why people don't sell tires, because it's not easy.
Right.
If it's easy and you make it easy, you make it a solid process, you'll sell it and it'll be golden.
And it has to not only be, we said the word earlier, it has to be profitable for the person selling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll, when we dig into it, easy is one. It's definitely, I couldn't pick between one and the other, but it has to have profit for the person who is selling.
Yeah, there's got to be, what's in it for me? I mean, that's got to happen for sure.
Yeah. So let me ask this question. That's a great topic. So I don't know what penetration is on extended warranties when people buy a newer pre-owned vehicle. Let's just say it's 70%. Okay. That means 30% don't have extended warranties. They get close to the end of the, whether it's a new one, they get close to the end of the 36 or 39 months to be able to offer something like that. Because right now, all I see dealerships offer is Dignify and Sunbit to cover that $4,000 repair. Mm-hmm. Why not an extended warranty at that time?
Well, Russell, I just got a call today for an extended warranty on my cell phone.
You buy it?
Russell's hanging up the phone.
It was great. I picked up the phone and I said, "You're calling from the dealership?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "I run the dealership." And
gone. How do you get my name and number?
That's funny. All right. So good. I'm glad it at least has some legs. So I'm going to continue to keep knocking on that door. We're getting close to our time together, but normally at this time of the podcast, we kind of talk about three takeaways from this episode. But what I'd like to do is just kind of go around and get your one big thing that you're looking forward to. We'll start again with ladies first, Kaylee Filio.
Man, why do you have to start with me?
Because you're a lady.
Oh, it's very polite. So the biggest thing in 2022, is that what you were saying? Like what?
Yeah.
Sorry. I would have to say, I think the tire sales, EV and how we're all going to evolve into this, just the change of what everything that's shifting right now. I think there's this new focus on fixed ops. I really feel it. And I think I'm excited to see what we can all make of it and what's going to happen with everything.
Perfect. Well said. How about you, Sean?
I think the theme for this year is going to be collaboration. Not only the collaboration amongst each other and other providers, such as Recall Masters, working with people like Ron and War Cloud and Parts Edge. I mean, I think I got a chance to meet with each one of you at NADA, but also partnerships with our dealer clients. It's more important to crawl into the business and really understand their pains so that you can help them realize the gains. And those kinds of partnerships are going to be critical, because dealers are going to struggle and they're going to look for true partnerships. Who's putting skin in the game to help me solve our crisis or help me realize profitability and potential? And they want to partner with people that, you know, and organizations that have integrity, that really kind of live in the day to day.
Awesome. I love that. Jim, how about you?
You know, what I'm starting to see is a shift away from sort of the shiny penny or the, you know, what's the latest and greatest glitzy technology. More and more people are looking to, as Sean just said, I have a problem and what's the best tool to fix my problem? And usually, as boring as it might be, that's business process optimization. I mean, there's a lot of things that go with that. Finding a tool that really works, but also bringing together the training and the focus to make sure that your employees not only have the tool sitting on the shelf, but they're picking it up and they're using it. They know how to use it. And there are metrics around using it and improving it. So we're starting to see, I think, more of that being embraced, and I think that'll continue, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's great. Yeah. Especially having that tool, right? And then holding your team accountable. And that's, you know, Eric and Joe, you guys are in that world, right? You got to hold your people accountable. What is one thing for you guys that you're looking forward to see from this year?
I want to get one step closer to marrying the technology with the expectation. And that expectation comes from a retailer, customer, employee, everybody that handles that technology and everybody that has the expectation, just one step closer, not looking to solve the world, just one step.
Well said.
The term loyalty keeps on coming up, and I am in business processes and all of that. I'm very excited about tightening our processes and streamlining our processes at the stores so we can increase the value of our people and then increase the loyalty. It's going to be the processes, because there's a lot of loose things. You talk about all the different technology you have. I think if we can streamline our processes in line with the technology, it'll just create a much better environment for both the employees and the customers. So, I mean, that's really what I want to do. I want to streamline those processes.
Yeah, that's well said. And Steve Epicella couldn't really join us today because he was in an airport, but he wrote something really great, which is most customers don't like the current buying process, where many customers, you know, don't return to their selling dealer after the vehicle is sold. There is plenty of room for their growth, right? So we can refine every single process, if we don't have a way to communicate to keep them coming back and so they don't have that struggle and that loyalty beyond just one transaction, you know. And Steve really has a great
Steve. He's on a plane. Hey.
You know, Steve has a great tool that I think, you know, will really help those customers keep communicating with the dealership. It's that one app mentality, where right now, most of us, our customers, we have more than one app that we have for the manufacturer. We have a manufacturer app and we might have a dealership app, right? But we really only want one, right? How about you, Ron?
You know, I think it ties in with everything people have said so far, and that it really comes down to utilization of the tools that you probably already have in your shop. You know, we talk about all kinds of new technology. The first step is to take the technology you have and implement it. So many people you'll walk into and they'll say, hey, we got this great program to talk with their customers. Like, oh, we got one of those. The reality is the utilization is so pathetic that they're not seeing any benefit from the tools. So take the tools you have and maximize those opportunities first. And then if they don't meet your needs, look for a better tool. But first, look at all the things that you're already paying for, subscriptions and products you've already paid for, and put them to use first. And then you'll find your business is going to really take off.
Yeah, well said. All right, Russell Hill, bring us home. What do you got?
So technology, getting technology for the sake of technology. I see a lot of technology out there that's not being used, but because it requires a lot of input that nobody has time for that input. Some of it's necessary. I get it. I understand it. It needs to be. First of all, everything starts at this that point of sale. These people, these salespeople on the verbal side, they need to learn what it's like to properly turn and build expectations up for the service department. So it really does start there. I really believe that. But yeah, technology is moving so fast. So if you're inspecting all that, but it needs to marry. It needs to marry what's going on at the shop. It needs to marry. I mean, let's face it. Your website is your store. That's where all four of your profit centers are located. New, used, parts, and service. Websites, first of all, are not designed for no inventory. I got to tell you that. So people are scrambling just to figure it out. But you know, it kind of starts there too. But it needs to be complementary with BDC as far as the whole process. It needs to fit within the process of what you want and streamline. If it's something that takes you out of that wheelhouse, that technology is not good for you.
Love it. That's great. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends and their family into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. You want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership. We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Everyone, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much
being a part
of this episode and last year's episodes. I'll end with, like I do with every episode, will you guys please come back?
Absolutely. You
betcha. I don't know. I got shortchanged there with only one visit instead of two, like two or three other people here. I don't feel the love, Corey.
Well, I'll have my agent talk to your agent. How's that?
Sounds good. Thank you. No, it was a really great show. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.